All right, so up on the agenda next is regulations, the Professional Standards Board's regulations for discussion or action. So we have Dr. Linnea Bradshaw, Executive Director, Professional Standards Boards, to present information on PSB regulations. The first on our agenda is Regulation 1549, Dance Teacher.
Thank you, and I'm glad to be with you tonight. The Professional Standards Board seeks the assent of the State Board of Education to amend Regulation 1549, Dance Teacher, which was published during the month of February. The proposed amendments received no comments. Are there any further questions from the board? I know I presented this, I believe, in February to you. I don't know if anybody's responding, but I can't hear anybody.
Sorry, I turned my mic off. Sorry about that. Are there any further questions or comments for the board? Okay, if there are no further questions or comments for Dr. Bradshaw, is there a motion to approve as currently presented Regulation 1549, Dance Teacher?
Brittingham, make a motion to approve Regulation 1549, Dance Teacher.
Lofink, second.
Ms. Honor, if you could call the roll, please.
Yes, and before I call the roll, I just want to note that Ms. Pfeiffer has been marked present.
Mr. Brittingham?
Yes.
Ms. Pfeiffer?
She's not present. She is on the screen. If you're here, we can't hear you. We'll loop back around. Mr. Lofink?
I'm here, sorry. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Lofink?
Yes.
Reverend Powell?
Yes.
Ms. Sweeney? Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. The next on the agenda is Regulation 1550, Agri-Science Teacher for Action. Dr. Bradshaw?
This regulation was published during the month of March. The proposed amendments received no comments. Are there any, I presented this last month for information. Are there any further questions for the board?
There are no further questions for Dr. Bradshaw. Is there a motion to approve as currently presented Regulation 1550, Agri-Science Teacher?
Lofink, so moved.
Second?
Brittingham, second.
You call the roll?
Mr. Brittingham?
Four.
Ms. Pfeiffer?
Yes.
Mr. Lofink?
Yes.
Reverend Powell?
Yes.
Ms. Sweeney? Yes. Motion carried. Thank you. The next on the agenda is Regulation 1564, Physical Education Teacher. Dr. Bradshaw?
Regulation 1564, Physical Education Teacher, was originally published during the month of November and subsequently republished in March of 2022. The proposed amendments received no comments during the month of March. Are there any further questions from the board?
Okay, if there are no further questions for Dr. Bradshaw, is there a motion to approve as currently presented Regulation 1564, Physical Education Teacher for Action?
Brittingham, make a motion to approve Regulation 1564, Physical Education Teacher.
Lofink, second.
Call the roll? Mr. Brittingham?
Yes.
Ms. Pfeiffer?
Yes.
Mr. Lofink?
Yes.
Reverend Powell?
Yes.
Ms. Sweeney? Yes. Motion carries. Great. Thank you. Those are all in front of us for action. So we do have several for information. The first of those is Regulation 1565, World Language Teacher.
1565 was published on April 1st and so far has received no comments. It is being amended in response to communication from the University of Delaware in seeking relief for students who, because of the cancellation of their study abroad programs due to COVID, could not reach the level of advanced low on the required oral proficiency interview and the written proficiency tests. Dr. Gregory Fulkerson, World Languages Education Associate, opposes a permanent change of this regulation. And in response, the board, in its motion to amend, included that it would revisit this regulation prior to 2024. Are there any questions from the board?
Can I just ask, when you say revisit, because I did see like all of the back and forth around concerns with respect to the timing of this. How is it written? Is it written such that it sunsets, or like how is it actually done so that you get that revisit in 2024?
Well, we actually tried several, or we thought of several different options, but unfortunately in Delaware's Administrative Procedures Act, there is no clause whereby regulations can be sunset, even though that is true for laws. And so I was hoping to put a sunset in, actually, but in lieu of that, because we weren't able to do that, the regulation has to stand as a permanent change until we revisit it. It's simply in the minutes as the fact that Delaware or the PSB has agreed to revisit this.
So can I make sure I'm understanding, the recommendation is to make the change because it's become more difficult because students can't travel abroad, so they don't have as great an expertise in these second languages. So we're going to make those requirements less strenuous given the current environment. Is that
correct?
Is that my understanding? Okay, and then we have to revisit at PSB's discretion in 2 years.
Yes, they do believe, in conversations with the University of Delaware, they thought that the class of 2023 would also be affected by these changes because some countries still are not fully open for study abroad programs. They're just starting to reopen, and the actual exchange programs haven't caught up with that at this point. So they're thinking that through the spring of 2023.
Two other questions, sorry, and then I'll open up to everyone. What was the impetus for this? Did it come from, like, where did this idea to change it start?
Well, it came from the University of Delaware. They asked if for consideration from the PSB to they asked for a temporary reprieve, and that's originally what we were looking at trying to do for students who are unable to meet the proficiency requirement.
And how many students, what is the affected population for this?
It is probably only a handful of students. The actual number of students at the University of Delaware who are currently seeking certification as a world language teacher, there's not very many of them. I think they would fit on 2 hands. So we're talking about single digits here.
So we're potentially changing the path of this particular regulation in perpetuity, unless somebody goes back and reads the minutes and remembers to do this in 2 years for a handful of kids.
You are correct.
Okay. I'm opening it up to the rest of the board.
Reverend Powell here, Ms. Bradshaw. Question as it relates to targeted language in the regulation. It speaks to language other than English. Let me find my place here. And it says that it is for people around the world communicating language and ideal for transmitting its culture, including American Sign Language, Latin, and Greek. So is these the only languages that we're referring to when we talk about world language?
No, it is all of the world languages. It is French, Spanish, all of Japanese, Chinese, all of the world languages that are offered in the state of Delaware. And so, but world language, it is not referred to as foreign language anymore, and one of the reasons for that is the inclusion of American Sign Language, which is it another language, but it is not certainly foreign.
I see.
Answer your question?
Yeah, it answers it, but it doesn't spell that out where it says targeted language. It does not include those other languages that you're referring to, unless I'm misreading it. It specifically says including American Sign Language, Latin, and Greek, period. So those other references, those other languages, I might not be seeing them. but it spells that out when it says targeted language in the regulation.
I believe so. I do. Unfortunately, I don't have this regulation up in front of me. It would take me a second to bring it up.
Yeah, well, it's under targeted language, so.
Okay. Okay. Is that in the body of the regulation or is that in?
Yes, I have it here under 1565 World Language Teacher. And it has definitions and I'm just reading it from it. Some of it's struck out and then that part is not struck out. And it goes, okay. That's the part where it says targeted language.
Oh, wait, I have to go back to the April register. I'm so sorry that I don't usually print all of these out on paper ahead of time.
Reverend Powell, can you let us know which section you're looking at or which definition?
Okay, not to be cavalier with anyone's time, it's number 2 under definitions 2.0, and you drop down to targeted language under standard board.
Reverend,
oh, okay.
Good question. So,
I'm at it right now. And so for the purposes of regulation, it means the specific world language in which the standard certificate is requested and issued, because this is a regulation that is for all world languages and means any language other than English that are used by peoples around the world for communicating information and ideas. And just to note that it includes sign language, Latin and Greek, because those are not commonly thought of as the modern world languages, because Latin and Greek are much of the Greek that is taught, for example, at Odyssey Charter School. I'm not sure that if that's current Greek or classical Greek. It could be either one, but I think those are included just so that you know that those exist, but it does mean all of the other world languages. And you can see later on that for the praxis exams that those we include Chinese, French, German, Latin, Spanish, and then for all of those all have praxis tests, but for all of the other languages, there is the oral proficiency interview and the written proficiency test, and those are given in almost any language you can possibly think of, except for American Sign Language, where they have what is called the American Sign Language proficiency test.
Reverend Powell, did that answer your question?
It answers, and at some point you can just point me to that language and that'll suffice for me.
Okay.
Can I ask a follow-up on that around, are we changing the requirements or does this regulation change the requirements for American Sign Language, Latin and Greek as well?
It does not change the requirements for American Sign Language because it is not affected by study abroad programs.
And it Latin does, is affected by study abroad
programs? And Latin? It does not, well, the only way Latin does not have an oral proficiency interview because it is mainly a written exam. I believe that you would have to take the praxis, the Latin praxis, in order to get certified. And we are not looking at changing the praxis scores, just the oral proficiency and the written proficiency test scores. And further, the change that the PSP is proposing to make only affects languages in the for the written proficiency test. It only affects languages that are alphabetic based, because the Chinese and Japanese and other non-Roman letter-based languages are already at intermediate high for their written portion of their exams.
Could you repeat that
I just don't understand what you just said. I'm sorry.
Oh, so there's the oral proficiency interview, and then there's also the written proficiency test. And the written proficiency test currently has two different levels. One is for languages that use the Roman alphabet, and that proficiency passing score is in advanced low. For, say, Japanese and Chinese and Arabic and other languages that do not use the alphabet, the proficiency cut score is intermediate high, which is one rank lower. We're not proposing to bring those down further for the written proficiency. So everything is now going to be intermediate high.
So if you could just tell what languages and which tests are impacted by this. So is it like French, Spanish, German?
It would mostly be French and Spanish, German, Italian. I'm trying to think of the other languages that are taught in Delaware schools. But Chinese would be affected for the oral proficiency interview, but would not be affected for the written proficiency test.
Sorry, I know I'm getting in the weeds. I just got a little confused.
Sorry, no, it's very confusing because, you know, there are probably 8 to 10 different languages that are taught in the state of Delaware at various districts and charter schools.
Any other questions or comments from board members? Okay, thank you. So the next on the agenda is Regulation 1532, middle level mathematics teacher.
This regulation was also published on April 1st and has so far received no comments. A prior version of this regulation was published on October 1 and again on January 1, 2022. On March 3rd, 2022, the PSB voted to publish an alternative version of the regulation. The version that was published on April, strikes the specific courses listed in the prior versions.
Questions or comments? I have one question, sorry. Dr. Mm-hmm. Noble's not here, I think I'm wearing her hat. Been reading her words all night. But if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, there were some comments from some middle school math teachers that were concerned around what the impact would be. Was that on a previous version and you've now addressed it, or are they just quiet on this right now?
I think it was on a previous version, and I believe we've addressed it.
So they're okay with it now?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, thank you. That was all I wanted to check. Anyone else, board members? Okay.
Reverend Powell, real quick. Does this regulation shift any of the curriculum or change the trajectory of any curriculum in light of STEM technology with the middle school math?
It does not. It does not, no.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else before we move on? Okay, the next on the agenda is Regulation 1581, Reading Specialist.
1581, Reading Specialist was published on April 1 and has so far received 7 comments. All of the comments protest the change in course title in Section 411125 from teaching English as a second language to teaching diverse reading profiles, including teaching English as a second language. There have been other substantive edits in this version, which streamline reciprocity requirements and add the International Dyslexia Association standards as an option. The Governor's Council, Governor's Advisory Council for Exceptional Citizens, and the State Council of Persons with Disability praised the addition of the IDA standards, but they also agree with the other commenters and would like the course title to change back to a full course on teaching English as a second language. Are there any questions from the board?
What is PSB's rationale for, if you're getting that many comments asking to change it back, What's the thought process?
Of why they changed it in the first place?
Right. Like, I'm just curious if you're getting a number of different comments that are all in agreement on the exact same thing. I'm just curious kind of what that dialogue was.
In this case, I can't speak exactly to the thinking of the board. However, I do believe that the person who suggested this change was thinking that the teaching diverse reading profiles would align more with the IDA standards. And if someone was in a program that aligned to the IDA standards, they wouldn't necessarily get an English as a second language course. However, we do have about 20% of our students in public schools in the state of Delaware are at one point or are linguistically diverse. And so that is what a lot of our commenters have noted.
Thank you. Are there any more questions or comments for Dr. Bradshaw on 1581 reading specialist? Okay, then I'm going to move on. Regulation 1557, technology education teacher.
1557 was published on April 1st and has so far received no comments. Major changes include a change in title to reflect the addition of engineering and a new definition of technology and engineering to reflect the new standards that the field adopted in 2019 and to more accurately reflect what this certification is used for. Engineering teachers, STEM teachers generally have the technology education certification. And we wanted that to be clear.
Any questions or comments for Dr. Bradshaw on education technology?
Not on this regulation, but I imagine this is for information. These regulations will come back before us.
That's
before
correct.
We vote on them.
Yes, they are scheduled. If they pass, we have the Professional Standards Board meets on Thursday of this week. And if these regulations pass through the PSB that day, I believe you are scheduled to meet on the 19th again, and we will look at these on the 19th.
Okay, thank you.
And Reverend Powell, if you do have further questions, you know, just send them to Jenna and she can make sure that she gets anything addressed, just to make sure that if you do have something that arises, we have time for that.
Very well. Thank you, Madam Paris.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate your time tonight. Next item on the agenda is a brief update on upcoming regulations.
You all have the list of regulations available for your review. As Dr. Bradshaw said, PSB will be meeting on Thursday. They continue to have a virtual option. So if you're interested in hearing any of the dialogue from the regulations that were just discussed, you can join that virtually and listen in. Other than that, I don't have any specific updates to talk about, but happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Great, thank you. Okay, so at this point in time, we have time set aside for public comment on regulations. Opportunity to sign up for public comment on regulations was available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not sign up and plan to provide public comment on regulations and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. And I'm just going to make one note. This is just around regulations. So to the extent it's anything around charter schools, et cetera, that has to go to the end for the general public comment. Do we have anyone signed up?
We do not for regulations.
Okay. All right, perfect. Thank you. Okay, so now we're moving on to state board business. And in order to center our work around our vision, mission, and guiding principles, we revisit them at each meeting. For board members, but anyone who might be listening to us, maybe for the first time, this information is available on our website and our e-board site. First up under this section is committee and meeting reports. Our members had the opportunity to provide information and written reports on events or committee meetings they attended since the last meeting that helped to move forward the work and our priorities. These are compiled, posted on e-board. Are there any questions or comments? Dr. Lippick?
Yes, one thing, and this ties to Dr. Cade's comments and ideas on reciprocal, intentional, partnerships. I'm sorry I said that so slow. You do it so well. On April 14th, I attended the boot camp to work spring fair at Del Castle High School. The event was held at Del Castle's gymnasium and had 90 prospective co-op and summer employers offering career and co-op job information to 11th and 12th graders. I was just overwhelmed, though I know I shouldn't be visiting high schools randomly, but I was heard about it and I stopped by. I was just overwhelmed with the number of students and the number of employers who were there and they were hiring. So that to me, that says something about, of course, the principals, Clifton Hayes, and with the job that Dr. Jones does at Newcastle County Votech. So that tied very much, Dr. K, with what you had to say. That would be it for me, Madam President.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? Ms. Turner?
Sure. I just wanted to pull up a couple of points from my report. I did attend the NASB Legislative Conference at the end of March. Thank you to the board for allowing me to attend. And there were many very strong sessions with a variety of stakeholders and expertise on the panels. Two points stuck out to me in a very strong way. I just wanted to bring them up to the board. One was a session on early care and learning. And we have one of our board priorities is early literacy and, you know, talking about the delivery or, you know, of a pre-K system, looking at universal pre-K. The panel really asked the audience and board members to think about the 0 to 5 delivery system, not just the preschool system, and to look at that in totality, because the investment in the larger system will produce gains that you don't have to address later on. So I thought that was just, you know, sometimes you have these comments and these ideas that really stick with you. That one stuck with me. And I know, you know, everyone is looking at pre-K. They did kind of a review of what happened to preschools post-COVID and working with a business model. It was just incredibly difficult to have pre-K services delivered for families and students. So just kind of going through what has happened and then the path forward. So that really struck with me, and I connected it to our board priorities. The other session that really stuck with me was teachers as drivers of excellence. It was a panel discussion, and there were some really great speakers that talked about pipeline development programs for residencies and paid opportunities coming out of Virginia State University, the state of Illinois, and Sharif El-Makai was there talking about the Center for Black Educator Excellence. And it was a deep and thoughtful conversation, and there's so many of these ideas that are being grown organically, some of which, you know, Dr. Gade shared. And this was all the on-ramp. It was all the on-ramp, and we need to make the on-ramp wider and have different kind of vehicles and paths toward the profession on the on-ramp. But nobody spoke about the off-ramp. And I am a teacher, and I will tell you that we need to have really honest and deep discussions with educators beyond checking a box that has 1 to 3 words on it about why you're leaving, to understand what educators have gone through and why they are leaving. So I'm going to connect to an item in your report when you go in a couple of minutes, Dr. Holodick, but this is something that we cannot glance over. We cannot look at it lightly. We have to really sit with the off-ramp and let teachers speak their truth to try and really understand what is happening, because it's not a survey with like 5 or 10 boxes you can check and no place to enter real comments. So I just want to bring that point forward. I know P20 is talking about all these issues. Teachers will have quite a lot to say if you ask them. Thanks.
Anyone else? Anyone on the line? And we're going to go ahead and move on to the executive director's report. And actually, I didn't send this in, but I did attend the UD Academy. I'm on the Academic Affairs Trustee Committee, so attended that in the last meeting. But Ms. Honor, if you wanted to share the Executive Director's report.
Yes, thank you. And you all have a copy of my report. Just a few highlights. We have been moving forward next steps with the NASB grant. So as you heard at our March meeting, we're working with Rowan from University of Delaware, who is our public policy fellow. She's been working on 3 deliverables related to early literacy and early literacy policy that we hope to bring in front of you at a future meeting. The first is a summary of assessments that measure instruction in the science of reading. This is one of the recommendations in a resolution that's before the legislature right now. It has not passed yet, but just we were interested in kind of looking at next steps related to that, and she's doing some initial research on that front. She's also doing some research on state examples of work to incorporate the science of reading into educator preparation programs, and state examples of incorporating the science of reading into required professional development for teachers. So she has some drafts of that research available now, and we are working on refining those, answering some final questions, and hope to bring them in front of you at a future meeting. We also met with NASB to discuss kickoff of the grant. In addition to the work that I just discussed, we are talking about two potential ideas with them. One, partnering with a technical assistant consultant that they have to do some focus groups around certification for educators related to literacy, as well as they are looking at facilitating a discussion with some national speakers to highlight some of the work that other states have done related to literacy. So hopefully an opportunity for our board members to just kind of listen in and hear about some best practices from other states on that front. They're working through that and expect to see some next steps on both of those things in the next couple of weeks. Like I said, we do hope to share them at a future meeting, but if there's any questions that you have on that or things that you want us to look into related to those, happy to talk about them now or follow up. Other quick updates. The department is developing a math plan and asking for feedback from stakeholders at key points in the process. So they have a steering committee as well as kind of this feedback group that they are going to three times throughout the development. I was asked to provide feedback on engagement, so who they should engage at this point, and initial considerations as they're getting started on that process. I did provide some notes that I think incorporate some of the themes we're talks about, but made it clear that I can't provide feedback on behalf of the board. So you have some notes on what I've shared available for you. I'll give you sort of a go and happy to talk through if there are questions on that. Shelby was also invited to participate on that as a student perspective, so she may have more. Related to charter schools, as you can see, there have been a number of action items focused on charter schools in recent months. One update that we have not discussed yet is there's ongoing conversation on the charter administrators front. The PSB did discussed this at their last meeting and decided that they do not want to create a new certification for charter schools. I believe that conversation is still ongoing with the department. I'm also working with Rowan to build out briefs related to enrollment and demographics, academic achievement, educator staff demographics, and governance, and hope to discuss those more in depth at our next meeting. This is just, we've been hearing a lot, I think, through these conversations of generalizations about the data, and board members have asked a lot of questions related to pulling data on specific topics, so we thought it might be. Those are the things that I wanted to highlight. Happy to.
Questions or comments?
Going to say thank you, of course, as always, for a really thorough report. I'm interested in learning more about the Dell Tech creation of the BS in elementary ed and the Wilmington University work, but I can follow up with you offline. I don't know if you care to comment briefly on those efforts.
Yeah, they both asked to provide updates at our P20 council meeting that happened on April 11th. We're excited, you know, P20 partners asking to want to provide updates on what they're doing. We talked a lot in the previous year at P20 about challenges in the educator space, right? So we talked about previous policy recommendations. We had a panel of higher ed institutions. We had a panel of district and charter folks kind of talk about what they are doing. And so this was sort of a natural follow-up to those conversations where they wanted to share, you know, here we heard you and here's what we're kind of doing and follow up to that. And I don't think it's appropriate for me to comment on the program mm-hmm. specifically, but they do have a whole slide deck that they shared that gives some details around, like, you know, how they came up with the program, what the goals are, what they're hoping to cover into the program, and sort of what their timeline is for launch, so I can share that.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, Wendy as well, and this was something, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this has happened because it feels like a month or two ago, I guess it was only a couple of weeks ago, but that was something that Secretary Holodeck and I shared a couple of weeks ago. But I know it's Monday, so time-wise for you, because I think that your input would just be really valuable. But it's Mondays from 2 to 4, so I know that's a challenge from a work perspective. But to the extent that you chose to log on and we were already started, that is always any board member, obviously, you know, an open invitation.
This is the P20 meeting?
That's the P20 meeting.
I was just going to ask for my information. Is there a teacher at the P20 meetings?
Is there an official teacher that's on? I mean, anybody can go, obviously, but there is not a teacher representative.
Like on the panel who speaks, yeah. So I'm in my classroom from 2 to 4, so.
2 to 4, okay. I wasn't sure what time your day ended. But that's really, that's a good point, right? Like, are we missing a video of a teacher?
I get forwarded and sent invitations for webinars and activities all the time while I'm in my classroom. So there's a little bit of a barrier for classroom current educators participating in some of these conversations. So I think that's something to think about, and I would love to join.
It's something to take away. Anything else for Ms. Honor before we move on to the secretary? Oh, I'm sorry, we have legislative before we move on to the secretary's report. All right, then we're just going to keep going through legislative update and consideration. And essentially, just to be clear, this is just a summary of some of the education-related bills that are currently proposed in the legislature. You know, to the extent during legislative season, if we have anything on that would directly impact work or that we might have some responsibilities as a result of, this is an opportunity to just be aware of those, to have that discussion. Thank you. Secretary Holodeck.
As we all know, it's Teacher Appreciation Week. You can help us recognize the outstanding contributions of our educators by including the hashtag I Love Delaware Teachers with your social media posts. I'll be joining our 2022 District and Charter Teachers of the Year at Legge Hall tomorrow, as they'll be honored by each chamber at the General Assembly and meet with the governor. April was the month of the military child. We also had the opportunity to recognize Welch Elementary as the state's first Purple Star school. Welch was recognized for its commitment to supporting unique educational, social, emotional needs of military connected children. The Office of Equity and Innovation has partnered with First Lady Carney for youth listening sessions with her for Trauma Awareness Month in May. I joined Saturday for a virtual half-day kickoff celebration to begin the 18-month project to build youth agency and advocacy around school climate and culture, academics, well-being, and mental health. To date, our higher ed office has awarded the High Needs Educator Student Loan Program, a payment program to 500 educators working in high-need schools and to and/or teaching in high-need subject areas. Each educator has spent received a $1,400 payment to their student loan lender. About 885 applications have been received during the 2021-2022 academic year. The Higher Education Office is also offering 2 new scholarships for the 22-23 academic year. Both scholarships address critical areas of need and student concerns about rising student loan debt. Each scholarship is $5,000 per student and does not have to be repaid. Educator Support Scholarship, that's for full-time graduate or undergraduate students attending a Delaware public or private college who intend to pursue a career in education. We heard a good bit from our superintendent here in Capitol just a little while ago about these initiatives, you know, at the local level, but they're also, of course, statewide. Career-based scholarship, that's for full-time undergrad students enrolled in a bachelor's degree program in a Delaware public or private college in a major leading to a career in a high demand field in Delaware. I also just wanted to provide a overview of a slide presentation that we'll be using later in the week in the Family Services Cabinet Council meeting that ties into what I talked about the last time we met at Howard High School, which is about our summer learning initiative. So I'm just going to go through this very quickly because I've talked about the importance of summer learning, but I thought the board would want to see this slide presentation, and it might drive some questions. You can move to the next slide, Jenna. back one. So major goals, we've listed three. One, of course, we want to prevent summer learning loss. We know that the students who are in most need are often those who have least access to summer programming and other opportunities that, you know, their counterparts have access to, even including up to and including summer vacations and prep. We want to focus on literacy, math, and student wellness. And then the third is we want to be able to measure student progress, which is much easier said than done. It's not necessarily easy to measure student wellness, as an example. Even literacy and math, one would think those are easily measurable, not so much, especially when you're dealing with targeted population like the one I just referenced. Move to the next slide. So we do have existing 21st century learning centers. Important to note that our 21st learning centers are going to be concluding in June, but we will have more starting up to start the new year, lasting 3 years, not just one. I would be remiss not to include 21st century learning centers because so much of their programming does occur throughout the entire school year and after school hours, of course. So just wanted to make the board aware of those opportunities. You can move to the next slide. A wraparound initiative. We have three schools that are currently in this innovative grant. That's Bancroft, Byard, and Kumba Academy to support the whole child. You can see the amount of dollars going toward those students, and all of that programming will be continuing in the summer months. Move to the next slide. So the United Way during COVID launched Learning Pods. So their Learning Pod Collaborative, they have just met with Shell Taylor actually on Thursday of last week. I know that she wants to see this academic enrichment opportunity, classroom-like experiences grow and continue, not go away when COVID concludes. These are not meant to replace all after school activities. We sort of see it as a menu of options where students would have opportunities to be engaged in after school hours and even possibly in learning pods over the summer months. Move to the next slide. So currently you can see the statistics with 1,000 students involved across 30 sites with 7 school districts that have signed multi-year contracts with the United Way. They have very good attendance, strong attendance, and participation. Move to the next slide. And there are wraparound services that are included. It's not just literacy and mathematics. Next slide. We're launching what's called the Governor's Summer Fellowship. We are partnering with the United Way. This is through the Department of Ed and the Governor's Office, where we will identify between 250 and 500 youth in elementary and middle schools who are going to be enrolling in high quality summer learning. CBOs have expressed to us that they need staffing support. So we're looking to identify somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50 high school students in our three counties, and we will train them. We're gonna start with students who are in the future teaching career pathway and hopefully pull them in during the summer months to work with CBOs and school districts to work with our younger students. Next slide. So this covers what I just mentioned, where we'll target students in that pathway, specifically juniors and seniors in the teacher academy programs. And our expectation is during this summer, the summer of opportunity, that our districts and charters will be offering robust summer programming. We're collecting a ton of information from our 19 districts and charter schools and putting them on a website that'll be as user-friendly as possible so that families can access what kind of opportunities are in their communities and beyond, in case, as an example, a parent might commute to work 30 minutes away, they should have access to see what's happening in other schools, districts, and CBOs, community-based organizations. Next slide. And then we provide three examples of what is currently being planned for the summer. So we have one in Red Clay with Warner, serving 225 students from both Warner and Shortledge. You can move to the next slide. One at Eastover with their SLAM program. Next slide. And then one at Phyllis Wheatley in Woodbridge. We can share this slide presentation with the board so you can, you know, take your time and go through it and see what kind of impact these three programs are expected to have on youth. I'll stop there. I know Ms. Turner has some thoughts and possibly some questions, and others might as well.
Thank you for that, for the report as well as the presentation. I'm going to open it up directly to comments. When I let open it up to you first, Mr. Because you expressed interest based on what you've read.
Thanks. So thanks for your report, Dr. Halidick. I attended Saturday's virtual Trauma Awareness Month kickoff event, and I don't know if any other board members attended, but I encourage you to attend future events. And I want to compliment our student member, Shelby Ferris, who participated in the event as well. And it was really an extraordinary convening. I can't compliment Dr. Terry Lawler enough with her work. And it had every piece of the puzzle there. We had government there, we had the Department of Ed there, we had the union there, and you had students there. And you had Delaware educators moderating a really powerful panel where students were talking about their experiences in school. And if you look in Dr. Halidick's report, he mentions that this is the first part in an 18-month conversation. And what this convening was on Saturday at its heart was a conversation. And this is what we need to do. We need to have conversations with the right people about the challenges and problems we have in education, really authentic ones, to go deep, as you mentioned earlier, to figure out what's happening and then solve. So I loved it, and I wanted to say thanks for that. And I wanted to say I would love to see the same type of 18-month effort with educators around what is happening. I think that'd be a really strong structure to look at. And a way to engage people and get people talking, because most often the people in the system, the consumers of the system, have really good ideas for ways to solve problems, just like we heard from the students on Saturday.
Thank you.
This is Shelby Ferris. To piggyback off of what Wendy just said, it was an amazing event. I'm so glad that I was able to participate. A couple months ago, I participated in another event and was a delegate to United Nations Conference on Women. And there was a quote that has really stuck with me, which is having difficult conversations with love. And I think that this really applies to the conversations that need to be had surrounding education in Delaware. And I just wanted to put that out there because it kind of related to what Wendy was saying about how at its heart, it really was just a conversation about what was going right, what was going wrong, and what we can do about it. And yeah.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you were able to participate. You've been doing some interesting things. I think you should be telling us more about this. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, this is Sean Brittingham. I want to pony on Secretary Halidick's comment about Teacher Appreciation Week. And I personally thank anybody who's an educator in any state. Unappreciated, hard work, long hours, you name it. Anybody who's in education, I want to thank them for everything they do. My wife is in education, and there's some entertaining evenings at home. But anyway, I just want to thank every teacher in the state of Delaware and anywhere else they are. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
This is Reverend Powell, and I wanted to thank you, Secretary Halidick, for your presentation tonight, your advocacy, and your support for community-based organizations that are in a non-traditional classroom, and how we as the community and the State Department of Education and like organizations like United Way can come together, pull our resources together, and be targeted for those areas, the low-income areas for high-poverty schools. As a point of context, when COVID started in 2019, I serve on the board of the Urban Center Ministry, which is the about 7 or 8 churches in the Wilmington community in the United Methodist Church. And when COVID first were impacted, we wanted to see how we could respond to the actual needs of those families. And one of the areas where we leaned in was education. And we developed a prototype learning pod at the local community center, which was in South Bridge, called the Neighborhood House, where we pull our resources together and we created a safe space for young people to come. It was a prototype. We didn't really know what we were doing at the time, but we were responding so the young people could come and get their technology needs met and have some one-on-one instruction was going on. So we got success of that. And then we got the ire or the attention of United Way. And then it started to replicate. And we replicated about 6 of these learning pods in the city of Wilmington. And then United Way also replicated them statewide. And so just to see how this has come full circle in the 2 years, and now that there are additional resources that are coming to expand these learning pods, we've got a lot of learning from these learning pods in terms of the challenges of the very districts and trying to get the data sharing so that we could, as you indicated, get measurable outcomes to see what kind of impact we were making. And each learning pod, as you kind of described in your presentation, has its own flavor, has its own identity. The ones that we kind of put together, we use the academic model with the high quality learning material. These are all elements of accelerated learning. We made sure we had one-on-one tutoring, which was at a cost, and now the districts are funding that one-on-one tutoring. We met with a charter school here recently, Edison, and now they're looking at supporting the one-on-one tutoring. And we have different matrix with as it relates to student participation that they have to come to the learning pods, about 95%. They have to do their schoolwork. There's another matrix. They have to participate in like 4 other areas in order for this funding to flow so that there is strong outcomes, measurable outcomes. So I just want to thank you that there's a lot of good work that these learning pods offer so that we could sustain minimize the learning loss throughout the summer and encourage. And like I said, one of the other things that I think Mrs. Turner talked about it was the socio-emotional aspect of. We had wrote a grant through Highmark where we could use wellness funds, and we used those wellness funds to build our learning pod with socio-emotional activities, like with the arts, with drumming, with music. And so those areas that really give young people identity and culture related. So this whole learning pod is a real comprehensive approach to learning and to sustain it. That was just through the school year. Now we anticipate doing it during this summer. And so this is exciting to know that you have been advocating and now supporting this type of initiative. So I want to thank you and let you know there's a lot of good work that's going on in this space of the summer, after school, before school, and even summer programs that you shared today. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Reverend Pell, and as well as Secretary Holliday. And I'm going to echo those comments as well. And I actually should have kicked this off tonight, thanking all of our teachers, because they are such a vital part of everything that we need to have going forward. And it was a difficult job that has been made much more difficult. So thank you, our teacher on the board and all teachers. So thank you for that. I was remiss in saying that earlier. So the next item on the agenda is formal public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. As a reminder, the board does not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue with those offering comments during the board meeting. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was also available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. We're going to hear from speakers from the sign-up sheet who are present in the meeting room first, and then we'll recognize the speakers that are logged into the via the URL. Comments are limited to 2 minutes for individuals, 3 minutes for organizations. And I believe we have one person signed up. I don't think we have anyone in the room, correct? We don't have anyone signed up in the room. Just checking. But we do have somebody that is on the line, and that is India Scott. And so the way it works, while we find you in the list of attendees and unmute you, you will have 2 minutes. And unless you're representing an organization, and you'll state the name of the organization. And what we'll do is put up on the screen a clock that will do your 2 minute countdown. And the reason we do that, I don't know if we have more people, is just because we really don't want to have to cut anyone off, but we do try to limit everyone to 2 minutes so everyone gets the exact same opportunity, because we have had lots of comments at board meetings. So we will wait until that clock is up, and then we will go ahead and get started. It looks like Jenna is writing in there in case we want anyone that needs to unmute themselves. So if you are joining by phone, you can press *6 to unmute. So Ms. Scott, it looks like you are unmuted from our end, but you may have to do something at your side, and that would be pressing *6.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. So
great.
If you can wait one second while we get up the clock. I don't know if you're able to see it, so I apologize. It is a bit of a nuisance.
I can, it's blurry.
Okay. Blurry. We'll try to make it clearer. We're working on it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It'll be 2 minutes, and we'll start it once you start talking, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay. So my name is India Scott, and my son is a student within the Cesar Rodney School District. I have been sending out emails for the past 4 months. My son was assaulted at Postlethwaite Middle School within the gym class, and I have reached out to everyone that I could for assistance and help with seeking knowledge, with seeking how to handle the situation, and I haven't received the proper help that I believe that I should have received proper attention. I am coming on here tonight to voice my concerns about the handling of the situation. There have been a lot of ongoing incidents that have happened. My son has a brain injury. We're still going back and forth to the hospital. I feel like when I voiced my concerns to the Postlethwaite Middle School staff, they were not really reliable and showed any compassion at all with what happened. So with that being said, I am looking to everyone to just do right for all students. If you know that things are not going on, if you know that parents are reaching out to you for help, please pick up the phone. If you are in whatever position, just pick up the phone and say, hey, how can I be of assistance to you at the end of the day? I hear a lot about that we are ensuring the safety of the children, but you didn't ensure the safety for my son at the end of the day, and haven't for the past couple of months. He's had to transfer schools because he's been bullied. He's been hit by students and teachers. And when I voiced my concerns, it was like, oh, it didn't happen. Don't worry about it. When he was hit by a teacher in the head, I didn't hear from any administration at all. I had to bring the issue up to them. They didn't call me on the phone or anything. They knew he had a brain injury, and they still didn't pick up the phone to call. So as a parent, I am very frustrated. And I will say thank you to the great educators that are continuing to do great things in the classroom and to support our children. I get all of that. But for the bad seeds or the bad apples, I feel like that it needs to be had of a communication, or a communication needs to be had, a real communication of what's going on in our classrooms. When
Thank
my
you.
Son was assaulted.
Ms. Scott, I'm sorry that apparently the timer was put on for 2 hours, not 2 minutes. So I really apologize, but you're on 3 minutes now, because I really didn't want to cut you off. But I have to, because I have to give everyone the same courtesy and the same time frame. But I can assure you that every board member heard you, and for 3 minutes, not two. And I fully understand and appreciate the concern around your child, as every parent wants the very best for their kids and all our kids in our district. So I apologize for having to cut you off.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anyone else that signed up?
Hey, Kendall, I know you are speaking on behalf of an organization, so we're going to put you up for 3 minutes, not 3 hours. We're working on getting you up.
I promise I won't even be a minute.
It's okay.
y'all are tired and hungry just like me.
No. You have your 3 minutes, but if you could just state your name and your organization, and then we will start the clock when you start talking.
Great, thank you. Kendall Massett, Executive Director for the Delaware Charter Schools Network. Thank you for allowing me time to speak this evening. It's pretty simple. Thank you, Secretary Holodeck and the State Board, for your thoughtful consideration of the applications that were approved this evening. Our charter community especially appreciates the support of the department and Associate Secretary Kim Klein. One item of note in response to an earlier comment, though, is that the charter community is willing and available to discuss any and all processes pertaining to charter schools, and we look forward to these and all conversations with the department and the State Board. Thank you. Look, less than a minute. I'm done. Thanks, friends.
We only banked those extra minutes, but we can't. But thank you very much. We appreciate your comments.
Sure. Thank you.
Anyone else signed up for public comment? Okay. Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
Brittingham, motion to adjourn.
No, thank you. Four. Second.
Any objections? It is 7:10 PM and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.